Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Of us, there's something in the scriptures that comes in, that flies in the face of something we've kind of always held to. We're not all knowing. We've got our own experiences, and some of those are wrong. Some of the emotions we've attached ourselves or things we've anchored ourselves to, they're not right. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking either. We can get off course and see things maybe the wrong way through muddy lenses. And we need to center ourselves again back on Christ to see things the way that He sees them. So religion does not save. Knowing Jesus saves. A relationship with Him. He'll never leave you or forsake you.
Do you like to follow the rules? Do you enjoy being corrected when you're wrong? Not many of us do. But the paradox of living the abundant life is that we become more free when we have rules to follow. When we live on our own terms, we end up isolating and distancing ourselves from others. But when we submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus and His Word, we become truly and abundantly free. Today, Pastor Troy encourages us to continue in our pursuit of the abundant life Jesus offers. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of John chapter 8 as he continues his message, How to Live Life Abundantly.
To come out and say that the truth is adultery is sin, some see as very narrow. You know why? Well, because there are so many factors. So many factors, Pastor. There's so many factors. You don't understand the way my spouse treats me. We're in love. We're in love. See, that gets complicated. But what doesn't get complicated is this. Look, you're married. I don't care how they're treating you. You're married. Anything outside of that is adultery, and that is inappropriate and wrong. See, that's easy. That's clean. I think it's the way God intended, not for us to go, well, I know that's what God says, but there are factors. No factors. Truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. So to say that there is no truth is to only confuse us from the path to freedom that Jesus invites us to. See, we are looking for political freedom, personal freedom so often, but we don't realize we need to find ourselves on the course for spiritual freedom, real life. Sadly, even the church is becoming very blurry when it comes to matters of truth. This is sad. Newsweek magazine had put out an article that said 85% of those who call themselves Christians, Americans, who call themselves Christians, and we know that's a very broad general term nowadays, but 85% of those who call themselves, identify as Christians, said that they also believe that theirs isn't the only way, there are other ways to heaven other than through Christ. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The truth Jesus speaks about, the truth that will set you free, is truth about Him. It all starts there. It's not like, that's blue, that's the truth. Oh, I'm so free now. No, it's truth about Him. Who is He? And that truth, knowing about that truth, will set you free. It'll make a difference in your life. It's about abiding in Him, knowing Him. And here's how we know this, that this truth He speaks about is Him. If you look at verse 32, it says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But then in verse 36, replace the word truth. Watch this. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, you see, religion doesn't save anyone. It can't. It never will. Being a religious person will never save, or the Jews would have not needed Christ. Religion doesn't save. See, religion is all about binding yourself to a set of rules, whatever those rules or expectations might be. But here's the weird thing about religion. You choose your religion. So you choose the rules you bind yourself to. And yeah, they can be a little strict at times, but you chose them. You chose that place. So that's the problem with religion, is we may, I've even heard some say, I'm looking for a church that teaches what I believe. Well, I understand the sentiment. I'm a Christian, I have certain values, and I'm looking for that church. But some take it really far. Oh, pastor said something I don't believe. I'm out of here. I got to go find another church. You're never going to find that church. Because for all of us, there's something in the scriptures that comes in, that flies in the face of something we've kind of always held to. We're not all knowing. We've got our own experiences, and some of those are wrong. Some of the emotions we've attached ourselves or things we've anchored ourselves to, they're not right. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking either. We can get off course and see things maybe the wrong way through muddy lenses. And we need to center ourselves again back on Christ to see things the way that he sees them. So religion does not save. Knowing Jesus saves. A relationship with him. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Knowing him, knowing his word, which reveals his heart, and abiding in him, that frees you from everything else. You don't have to be in that wrong relationship because, oh, I find my sense of value and sense of love in this relationship. No, that's a lie. You don't have to be in that relationship when you know the Lord Jesus Christ himself values you and he loves you. I don't need that thing. We are free. We don't need more money. We don't need more of anything. We just need what God has given us because my value's in him. He doesn't see me as less because I have less money. He doesn't see me as less because I was too short to make the college football team. He doesn't see me as less for any reason. He has value in me. And that relationship with him, knowing him, brings life to us. See, that's living life. That's living abundant life. Trusting in him, following him, pursuing him with all of your heart. So we believe in him, we abide in his word, we know the truth, knowing him, knowing his word in a deeper, more personal level. It gives us a right perspective about heaven and earth, what's important. Thus, you actually become more and more free. You know, freedom? We have a misconception about freedom. You actually become more free when you do follow the rules. When you let God kind of help run your life. You see, as a musician, one thing that you learn is there's a such thing as timing. There's a such thing as tempo. There's a such thing as beats. You know, all of this stuff. And in the beginning, you don't know that. You just think, I'm free, I'm going to do it my way, and you go, and you're free, and you do it your way. Timing, who cares? Tuning, who cares? No one's playing with me. So I didn't know if I was in tune. I could tell if my strings were in tune, but if was I in really in tune with anybody else? I didn't know. I didn't care. It was just me. So play, timing didn't matter until I got a drummer. And then I'm playing a certain song, and I'm switching. He's like, ah. I said, why do you keep stopping there? You're like cutting off a beat. I mean, cutting off a beat, man. I'm on. Just follow me, man. I'm the leader. But I had to learn. I couldn't be that free yet because that kind of freedom leaves me as an individual isolated by myself and no one can play with me. So what I have to learn are the rules. I have to learn the rules first. Tunes, pitches, all of that stuff, tuning. You get in there and you start playing and someone else, they're like, whew. Man, my instrument doesn't sound right. Something's wrong. Your attitude. You're flat. All your strings are flat. Instrument sounds fine, but your whole tuning is flat. They're like trying to figure it out. So you got to tune. See, only after you've tuned yourself and learned how to run within the bounds that are given can you truly experience freedom. At first, it's work. It's learning. It's learning. It's learning. And that's what the Christian life is like. At first, there's work. It's a joy because you're close to the Lord. You're following. But you don't do that. Oh, you can live that way. And we start to learn things like cutting back and all of this stuff. It's like, wow, this is work. This is serious. Following the Lord is serious. But after a while, when you're freed, you are free indeed. It's like, man, I can run around. This is a joy. This is wonderful. Now you can play, you know, with a jazz band, you know, and kind of go and do some extra things because you know timing. You know to come back in on one so everybody else isn't going, where's he at? Where's he at? Then you have freedom. So we need these things. Now, we're going to spend much less time on this because I'm sure you don't want to take a lot of notes on this second part. Look at verse 33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, I say you're not going to want to take notes because here's the title of our second half, if you will, how to miss the life Jesus gives. We can do that. And the first way is obvious. Remain a slave to sin. You want to miss the abundant life? Remain a slave to sin. The conversation here is on a higher level than just physical slavery. Jesus is talking about spiritual slavery. See, they know that as Abraham's descendants, they've had a history of slavery. They know that. But they themselves haven't been a slave. Or have they? They're under Rome's rule right now. See, they're not seeing things clearly. We've never been slaves. No, you've always been slaves. You guys are always under somebody. During the time of Judges, you were brought into subjection of people all throughout that period. You came as slaves. That was after Abraham. These were ideas that they had forgotten. They forgot where they came from. And so here's what they're saying. They're saying, look, we're God's people. We have the law. We've got God's leading. We're free. We've always been free. We've always had God. But they forgot. And see, Jesus focuses the spotlight on their heart, not on their history.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Sometimes we focus on our history and we forget this is about our heart. You ever heard someone say, "Of course I'm a Christian. My parents are Christians. I was raised in a Christian school. Of course I'm a Christian." Or, "Of course I'm a Christian. I'm an American, right? It's a Christian nation," they say. Well, that's their position. That's what they hold to. But that doesn't make someone Christian. Jesus, as the light of the world, shines a light on the fact that they have sin in their heart that enslaves them. They are not. Though they are physical descendants of Abraham, they are not children of God. You see, a slave is not his or her own master. A slave is subject, and they have no choice in the matter. He's controlled by another, and he can't quit, can't free himself. And Jesus is saying, as a sinner, you may be a descendant of Abraham, but you're a slave to sin and not a child of God. You're not a son. You're a slave to sin in the world. One way to miss the life Jesus gives is to remain a slave to sin. Sin causes us to try to control our own lives. We take back control from God, and we try to control it. Sin is the whole idea is that I know best, I got this. It's what happened in the garden. You don't need God. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You can decide for yourself. You can interpret for yourself. And so that the heart at the root of sin is, I got this. I don't need someone else. I got it. I know right and wrong. But see, when we live that way, here's what begins to happen in our life. Fear and worry. When we try to control our own lives, we make our own decisions. The weight of everything is upon ourselves. We begin to worry, did I do the right thing? Will the wrong things happen from this? We begin to fear. Everything begins to fall upon us. And so, we're not free. Also, addiction. We get into things that were enticing at first, but addicting. And so now we can't break free. We can't let go. We're kind of tethered to something that basically controls us, and addiction will abuse you and cast you off and leave you for dead and not care any more for you. There's the pursuit of sin, which wastes time. We might call it surfing. Surfing in the world like we would surf on the internet. You click here, click there, and there you go. You're off into areas that you never planned to be in. And even if it's nothing bad, you just chase down the latest singer from the Disney cruise ship or whatever it is. You find yourself over there and you've been there all night, find out it's 2:00 in the morning. Guess what happens? You wasted your time, energy, and resources, and you'll never get them back in your pursuit of nothing. The enemy wants to steal all that we have, including our time. All these promised fulfillment. But one day your life is gone and you have nothing to show for it, nothing of eternal value to show for it. So that's one way to miss life, miss the life Jesus gives, is to anchor yourself to sin. Look at verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. The second, and this is the last thing, maintain an impenetrable heart. You want to miss the life, the abundant life Jesus gives? Maintain an impenetrable heart. Don't let anything come in. I'm strong. Nothing influences me. Nothing takes me. Nothing affects me. I just won't let it change me. Their hearts, let's look at them for a moment. Their hearts were so hardened that they began rejecting everything Jesus said. Whenever he said it, it didn't matter. They just rejected it all. It reminds you of the sower when the seed fell on the hard soil. You remember what happened there on the hard soil? It fell off by the wayside, not the rocky ground, but the wayside where the birds came and snatched it up, and it never did penetrate anything at all. Never did put down roots. It didn't get a chance to produce anything. Some of you may be praying for someone like that. You feel like, man, nothing seems to go in. Nothing seems to penetrate. Well, keep praying, because the Lord has a way of cracking even the toughest of hearts. Just keep praying. If God's got them in your life, then you pray. Just keep praying. You don't always have to be the answer. Sometimes you kind of got to not be the answer, and you got to let them do their business with the Lord. Let him take them the way that he wants to take them, but you continue to pray. Now, some of you may be like that. Not just praying for someone like that. You may be like that. Nothing cracks you. You don't let anything in. I got what I got. No one's changing me. You've learned the art of deflecting God's word onto others. God's word comes in and boom, that person needs that. Boom, that person needs that. Oh, so-and-so needed to be here. I'm going to tell them to get the tape. I'm sorry. It's a long time ago. So yeah, I'm going to have them get the vinyl. But there's nothing going into your own heart. Guys, don't let that be true about you. Don't let it be said of you that there's no conviction when you sit under the Word of God, that you have no conviction for yourself, that there's no remorse for sin or no sense of need. This is for you. Hebrews 3:15 says this, "Today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." So, the Jews standing before Jesus understood the illustration that Jesus is using about the slave and the son. 2,000 years ago, slaves were common in households in the Roman Empire. Slaves had no rights. Sons did. And there was a big difference between the two. A son had an inheritance. A slave had nothing. And Jesus is saying, the Son of God can free you. You can't do it. Only he can. And when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Not only are you free, but you are a son of God. You're a child of God with an inheritance just like the Son. No longer a slave, but wealthy. A rich future ahead of you. A son, a daughter, a child of God with an inheritance. So what is it? What do you want? You know, as a child, you have to obey your parents, right? I mean, are you really ever free in the sense of, I just want people to leave me alone? No, that never happens. You're under someone's employment. I'm starting my own business. Well, you're under the government then. You're always under somebody. And so you might as well put yourself in the house of God, under the Father, instead of being a slave to sin. You're going to serve somebody. It may as well be the one who served you, who loves you, and gave his life for you. Don't remain a slave to sin. Don't maintain an impenetrable heart that will keep you from life abundantly. Instead, believe in Jesus, abide in his word, know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And you will begin making music. You know, in music, we have harmonies. You sing the song by yourself, it's cool. But when you add certain harmonies, it's beautiful. Well, I believe God's truth is the melody line. We're not always perfect, but we become a harmony. Our life becomes a harmony that begins to harmonize, following it. And it becomes a beautiful thing that when the world sees it, it leaves an impression and a witness. You become the light of the world. Let's pray. So, Lord, we thank you for your word, which is alive, it's true, and it's the truth. And I pray, Lord, that more and more we learn about who you are, that we learn to follow you. May you be glorified in our lives. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts, to let you continue to do the work in us that you long to do. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us in the way that we should go. And help us to live abundant lives, Lord, not afraid, not worried about everything, but getting ourselves in the boat. Abiding in you, abiding in your word, letting you take us on the course you see fit, living that exciting, abundant life. Help us to get over ourselves that we might find ourselves in you. Help us to dig roots deep down. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have